Father, we're always in awe of the things of God. We always feel completely inadequate to ever communicate anything that would be valid or truthful as far as God is concerned, and yet we're trusting the Holy Spirit to overcome the fleshly limitations and to minister as He will to the hearts of His people today. In Christ's name, amen. Verse 17, and when I saw him, and this is, of course, John speaking, to whom a revelation came, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he placed his right hand upon me, saying, do not fear, I am the first and the last, and he who lives and was dead, behold, I am living forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell, or Hades. Write then the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which are about to be after these things. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw upon my right hand, and the seven lampstands of gold. The seven stars are messengers or angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. All right, now, first of all, relative to Christ, John, upon encountering him, is struck with awe, and he fell at his feet as dead. It's easy for us for Christ to become common to us, especially as we draw him into too much of the prosaic and mundane affairs of life, to look to him in the more common concept of Jesus as a lover, as some have it, or Jesus in a constantly intimate way. Sometimes we lose the vitality of what it is that we are dealing with here. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't want to discourage anyone from thinking of Christ as being with us daily, but we've got to think of it in a different way than seeing Christ as our little genie in a bottle, you know, that you rub the bottle and you get nice things from him. I think we have to see him in the light of the spirit reality that he is so much a part of our lives, of our inner self. Just as when we are born, we receive life, physical life. When we are born again, as the expression is, we receive spiritual life, and that spiritual life is our life. That's a real part of us. We don't have to keep testing it out by seeing what we can get from God, you know, or what He can do for us. The question, what has God done for you lately, is a bad question. I don't apologize for that statement. That is a bad question. Because, as I've said before, it puts the weight on a relationship to Christ would consist of getting him to do things for you. You see. And the test for spirituality tends to be, is your faith big enough to get things from God every day? Like trying to judge your young people in the household, the children at home, by who has the cleverest way of getting things from mom and dad. Not a very good basis of judging. So, if you are prone to go along day by day without getting things from God, don't be distressed over that, because your most important facet is the life you have in you. That is a constant thing, because it is a new life. It is a divine thing that has happened to us to give us that spirit within that makes us part of Him. And we are part of Him, and we don't need to test that out all the time. Now, the presence of that Spirit within us is what gives us sensitivity to life around us. And that is the second, perhaps most valuable thing, way ahead of what He's going to do for us, is that the presence of the Spirit within us is a guidance factor. We have sensitivity about things that are good and things that are not good. There are some things that we are reluctant to participate in because we feel a check about it. Well, that check is from the Spirit and something that we ought to well pay attention to. The sense of the Spirit gives us a sense of what is taking place in the world, and this is what the text goes on to say. Christ, and I presume here the expression Christ would be a good one, because as I have said, the focus of the post-incarnate era, that is the post-Jesus era. What I mean by that is when Jesus was a facet of the revelation of God. The text says that he was the incarnation of Christ, or the Logos, the Word. Christ is that eternal reality that is the touch between God and man. Christ is an entity, but had the physical person of Jesus as the vehicle for the revelation of that entity to the world. All right, now, when Jesus died and rose again, he rose in a glorified state, which primarily meant that the mortal body per se, or the physical body, was now glorified to be a perpetual and eternal glorified body for Christ. Now here you have Christ as the ultimate fulfillment of all that God intended to reveal to us. I like us to focus on Christ for two reasons. First of all, the earthly process of Jesus was a revelational thing and a temporary thing. You see that? So that to graduate on to a deeper sense of God, we go back to Christ. Christ is the key to understanding God. To graduate from the kindergarten concept that Jesus is with us to go about doing things for us, to the concept of Christ in us, the perpetual abiding presence of the Spirit of God. And when you sense that part of it, when you understand that the meaning of Christ is to be a perpetual abiding presence that identifies and ties us to God, then you are able to function on this earth without constantly having to prove God to yourself or prove yourself to God by proving Him by getting Him to do things, as we've said. I want us to graduate into that point. Now when it comes to the Holy Spirit, again, a faulty focus is commonly made here. There are those that now pick up the concept of the Holy Spirit as the genie in the bottle. That is, now to have the Holy Spirit means that you now become eligible for miracles. You see, by getting the Spirit, which is kind of like an it. A Spirit is kind of like a catalyst to make it possible for you to go on to get other things from God. But the Holy Spirit is in reality the means by which Christ dwells in us. Now, once again, let's understand that Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One, Christ is God's revelation to man, or the touch, the channel through which man and God meet. Christ is not separate from God, but He's a channel. He's the meeting point between God and man. And that's what Paul tells us too. In order to bring Christ to us, the Holy Spirit comes. the Spirit of Christ is what it really is. In other words, Christ dwells in us by His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in us. But Jesus Himself said in His message, in His words to the disciples, that the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but He will glorify Me. I think that is clear. By talking about these things, it keeps you from stumbling around as to who you are addressing, whom you are addressing, accurately, whom you are addressing. And I've heard people praying and they kind of get confused. They stumble about. They don't know whether they're talking to God or Jesus or Christ or the Spirit or what. This helps to focus things for you. Christ is the central issue. You can talk about Christ. You can think about Christ. You can fellowship with Christ. And Christ is the embodiment of all of it. That's what Colossians 2:9 says. It pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Christ, should dwell all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Christ is the focus of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and all the elements. All those are facets. God is a multifaceted being. As the source of all energies and all the processes of the universe, God is a totally unreachable, unfathomable, incomprehensible entity out there behind the universe that we live in. But in Christ, Christ is the window on God. When we talk about Christ, we're talking about God as God is available to man. Focus on Christ. This is a practical thing to talk to you about. Again, ever talking about it, I suppose, but it'll be clear to you. You can pray to Christ, talk to Christ. You can call Him Father if you want to, because He is also Father, and you can call Him God, but Christ is the focal point. When we get to heaven, we're not going to see three gods on three thrones. We're not going to see the Holy Spirit sitting over here in the eastern section and Jesus in the western section, etc., etc. No, there's going to be an entity. How we will interact with Him, I don't know. As I've said before, I'm not convinced that there's going to be a long queue stretching over the cloudy skies or something, waiting to ask Jesus questions. I don't think so. I think we all went to heaven thinking, oh good, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus about it. Well, it's all right. I think when we hit that area, that suddenly we'll know. We won't even need to ask. We'll know as we are known. That's what the Bible says. We'll know as we are known. How there will be personal interaction with Christ on the basis that there are perhaps hundreds of millions of people involved, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to guess. But whatever it is that we are conscious of in terms of Jesus, or Jesus Christ, I should rather say, that will be our focal point. Christ. The Spirit of Christ will permeate the whole of eternity. But remember, the Spirit of Christ is the same as the Spirit of God and the same as the Holy Spirit. We commune with Christ and interact with Christ on the earth in that context that He is our life. He is the essence of all of our energy and life in the Spirit. That is our spirit life. Christ is the essence of it. In fact, we have become a different being. We have changed not just personality factors, which may not change, but we've changed essence. We are a different thing. It is as though in some of the fairy tales, the frog becomes a prince or the prince becomes a frog or whatever, and they change essence. When we take the Spirit of Christ in us, we are changed in essence to be spirit beings rather than flesh beings, even though we still retain the vehicle or vessel which is of the flesh. The comfort it gives us is that we don't always have to be playing games with God trying to make things work. That's the constant everlasting game in Christendom. Make it work. How do I get more from God, and how do I get more holy, and how do I do this, and how do I do that? You know, life flows with us, and the flow is not that we always, isn't that we always do the right things, A, or B, that God doesn't care what we do. That's not the flow we're talking about. The flow is that we have a sense of being, a basic satisfaction, we might say, perhaps, basic satisfaction that we are in the refuge of God, that we know Him, more or less, and that life has eternal meaning to us, and not just a mutation or something like that. We're not just a vegetation transmission in the ongoing processes of the earth or the universe. We are entities, individual entities, and we are spirit entities, and we are eternal entities possessed of the Spirit of Christ. Now, whatever happens beyond that is secondary, you see. Now you can just go and do your work and live and minister to the things that you need to do, and be at peace. Be at peace. Then the tertiary or the third element is that having come to peace in terms of our essential being, and having peace that Christ is with us, and that we are His children, now we can interact with the daily problems and needs as becomes children interacting with parents. It's something that is intrinsically part of us, that we have group relationships. Now, I understand perfectly there are a lot of sociological problems in our world, and there are many aberrations of the pattern and so forth, but I'm talking about the norm. The general pattern of families and social groupings is by and large a confidence, has confidence in it, that those patterns don't just change back and forth. And so our relationship to Christ, you see, now is a fixed thing. The Spirit of Christ is in us. We belong to His family. It's a fixed thing. If we go to Him and ask for something, and He may, for His own reasons, turn us down, we do not need immediately to say, well, I wonder if I'm still a member of the family. But I submit to you that that is a problem in much of Christendom. If people think their prayer hasn't been answered, now they're saying, I wonder if I'm still a Christian, or I wonder if I ever was. It should bring great release to understand that it is the Spirit in you that makes you a member of the family, and not some capacity for religious interaction. And that is true either not only of getting things from God, in quotes, also true of feelings about God. Let us say there's been an interaction between the child and the parent. Let's say Junior wants a moped, okay? Now he does battle with his family over it, and they decide that for various reasons they cannot either afford it or don't think he ought to have it right now. And he goes into a fit, and he goes to the room and slams the door, and turns up his rock music to the highest possible level and screams at Mom and Dad. See? Now, he can scream all he wants. He does not have to stop and say to himself, well, oh, I've really blown it. I'm no more a member of the family because I was very unhappy with Mom and Dad. When he comes to his senses the next day or the next 10 years, as the case may be, it may take 10 years to come to understand why one couldn't have that. And I would like to submit that as a pattern for our relationship to Christ, that none of the conflicts that we have with Him or the problems that are generated in our lives change the basic fact that we have become different persons by the introduction of the Holy Spirit into our spirits. I want to give you confidence. I want to build in you the sense the Spirit of Christ has changed us. Now, that, of course, is directly out of a statement of Paul in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of Christ." So the Spirit of Christ coming in us transforms us. It makes us different people as to nature. Now, once again, I still caution you. Don't say that it's licensed. Now you can just go out and live any way you want. It doesn't matter. It does matter. But that's not the issue. The issue isn't, if I do this, I'm going to no longer be a child of God. The issue is, if I do this, I may louse my life up. That's the issue. So we try to behave ourselves and function within some framework of sanity and conservative living. But if you make mistakes, you may not always be comforted in your flesh, be comforted in your spirit, but if you make mistakes, you have consequences that come along. And for those things, you may have a lot of distress. Behaving yourself as children of God, your salvation is secure, your identity with Christ is secure, but your processes of daily life might get garbled or askew, as we may say. And that's something you just have to work out. All right, I think I better stop now. And what we, again, cover probably a lot of repetition here, but I want this a fixed thing because it's sound. What I'm saying to you is biblically sound, and we can could go into all kinds of scriptural substantiations for this, but I think it has a good ring to it in terms of our own experience. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us in the understanding of these matters as we constantly look to you for your help and as we take refuge in the reality of the Spirit of Christ within us. Help us in Christ's name. Amen.